when he was in prison in Rome, then it was just a short time before he was executed by the Roman authorities, and he was writing his last letter to Timothy. This is what he said. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Isn't it amazing? The choir just opened the book today and had picked out the song, "We're living in perilous times. Each day brings new distress, but God has told us in His Word to pray and do our best." I want to just mention that as I began the sermon this morning. These are perilous times. These are the last days of the church age. Things are winding down, and these are perilous times that the Lord said would come. I want to make a statement or two that is important here. Paul was not speaking about a nuclear war that would possibly wipe out cities and maybe even nations. He wasn't talking about perilous times being the tribulation period that is coming upon this earth, the worst 7 days that man will ever know. And during that time, one half of the population of the earth will die. There are almost 7 billion people in the world today, and during the tribulation period, the Bible says half of the population of the world will die. Paul wasn't saying they were the perilous days. He wasn't speaking about the battle of Armageddon that's going to take place at the end of the tribulation period when the Lord comes to fight against the Antichrist and the armies of the world. And listen to this. "And the blood will run to the horses' bridles in the valley of Jehoshaphat for some 200 miles. He wasn't speaking of the catastrophes or the tsunamis or the tornadoes or the hurricanes or whatever such as that bring wholesale destruction in our day. He was not even speaking about Christians being persecuted for their salvation. He was preaching about this, the latter-day apostasy, the falling away, perilous times, when people get away from the Bible, get away from the truth, and begin to go off into false doctrines, perilous times, the last days. That's where we are today. The apostasy that the Lord said would come. Not only have people believed the Bible and experienced the Bible and enjoyed the Bible in times past, but Paul is talking about the apostasy when those same people that have known the Lord and served the Lord and lived for the Lord and enjoyed the blessings of the Lord and then turned their back on the truth and go up into false doctrine, and that is the apostasy. And he said, that is the perilous times of the last day, and we're right in the middle of it. And I thought, God, help us to awaken to what is going on around about. In the 7th chapter of Matthew that you have open there before you, I'm going to read the 13th and 14th verses. Jesus is preaching what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And I want to stop right there. This is a fundamental, basic Bible truth, and I believe one of the greatest truths of the Bible, one of them, that is outlined for you and me today. The Lord is saying, there are but two routes. There are but two avenues. There are but two roads, two paths. And each of them will lead to an eternal destination. There are the many. There are only two categories of travelers. There are the many and there are the few. He said the many are on the broad road. The wide road, coming in the wide gate. And they're on the way to destruction. They're headed for hell. They're lost. They're undone. And the few, the redeemed of the Lord, have entered in the gate, the straight. And the highway is straight. On the way to glory to be with the Lord forever and forever and forever. I want you to understand today, almost 7 billion people in the world, and all of those 7 billion are either in one category or the other. They're with the many, or they're with the few. They're with those that are lost, headed for hell, or they're with those that are saved and on their way to glory. And that is the 7th chapter of Matthew that I wanted to bring to your attention. And then I come to the 14th chapter of John. 14th chapter of John. While with his disciples in the upper room, or maybe on the road on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before Jesus was crucified, Jesus said in the 2nd verse, I go to prepare a place for you. Then in verses 4 and 5, he says, and whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? I listen to Thomas. I hear Thomas. The Lord has said, I am going away. You know where I'm going. And you know how to get there. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? And listen to the next verse. As Jesus responds to Thomas, one of the most profound verses in the Bible, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So listen closely. There's no mistaking the way to heaven. There's no mistaking the path to the glory world. Jesus said, I am the way. No mistaking of that. What I'm going to preach this morning, you haven't heard. You've heard something similar. I want you to know we're close to the end. These are perilous times. A lot of people have no desire to hear the Word of God. No concern for God's Word. They're going to play and do their own thing and miss out. The Bible said there are many who are going one way and a few going the other. And the few that love God are going to make it. The many will be lost. And he said, the only way to the Father's house is through me. I am the way. I am the way. And nowhere in Scripture, and I have read the Bible through, nowhere in Scripture is there a hint or suggestion that there's any other way. No hint whatsoever that there is someone else or some other direction or some other path that you can make it to glory, that you can go to heaven. So please understand today that Jesus is the way. He's the only way. I mentioned earlier that these are perilous times, and let me just stop here. They're probably more perilous than we realize. Things are happening, and most of it is not in the news. Most of it is not on television, and things are happening even now in the world that causes me to realize these are perilous times. It's time to get ready. It's time to serve God. It's time to obey God. And I can see what Paul is saying, when he said to Timothy, these are perilous times, and he tells them why. He said, in the last days, people will be religious. They will have a form of religion, but they'll deny the power of God thereof. He said, they will go through the motions, and they will go through the rituals, and they will say the right words, and they will attend services in the house of God, and they will do volunteer work in the community, which is a wonderful thing, and they will be active in the church services and participate, and they will give of their tithes and offerings and divisions and the rest, and with all of that, many of them will be without Christ. Religious, but lost. And we've come to that day in America. I've never known a time in my life when there was so much compromise with the truth. With the truth of God's Word. Among those who claim to be saved, amongst those who have professed to be Christians, there's never been a time, as far as I know, in the history of the church when there's been such a falling away. And I want you to think about it. Satan deceived Eve. And Eve went to her husband, and he partook of the forbidden fruit. And sin came into the world, and Satan is still deceiving today. In fact, he will deceive you if he can.
He'll deceive your children. He'll deceive your grandchildren. Your neighbor, your friend, if he possibly can. That's why Sunday school and Wednesday night, family night, and Bible study and prayer time are so important in our lives. It is important that we live a life that is right down the line with the Lord. Satan has deceived Eve and has deceived people across the land. And so many people are today following his direction. And we are living in Palestine. And so I want to bring some thoughts to your attention today. Whether you realize it or not, there is going to be a world economy. It is already heading up. I heard a man say this week that we are responsible to see to it that Greece and Spain and Portugal and Italy do not go under financially. If they go under, the whole world economic system will collapse. And here we are borrowing 40 cents on every dollar that we spend in America and borrowing it from China. I'm not going to preach a political sermon. I want everyone to know there's going to be a world court. There's going to be a world government. There's going to be a world church. And what I'm going to say now is to let you know that the world church is coming into being right now. These are perilous times. And I'm not talking about the world church coming out of Islam or out of Hinduism or Buddhism or something else. A good part of the world church will be backslidden believers. People that have believed God and went back on God and got away from the scriptures. The world church tonight, today, is already has a nucleus. And they're meeting together in conference and have been, I know, for the last 5 years, meeting together trying to somehow bring the religions of the world together. Fundamentalists, Pentecostals, Muslims and all the rest. Bringing them together so that we can have, and it's going to be headed, listen to this, the world government is going to be headed by the Antichrist. The world church is going to be headed by the false prophet. 13th chapter of Revelation. I personally believe we're nearing that very moment. These are perilous times. In the meetings that they have had and continue to have, in this nucleus, this ecumenical meeting of the various religions of the world and the various denominations in America, and you would be surprised at some of those that are participating in these meetings. The names of some that are known to you on the television and the radio in the religious circles of the world. Listen to what one man said. They've come together, this group has come together over the years, and they have determined that Christianity has been a blessing to the world. They've determined that it's been great. These last 3,000 years, after Jesus has died for the sins of the world, Christianity has had a part, a real part, in bringing people to the knowledge of salvation. But now they've come to the conclusion that there are other religions that are just as important. That are other paths to heaven. I want to make it plain today. Jesus said, I am the way. He could say it this way, I am the only way. He is the only way. There is no other. And yet this ecumenical group, some Pentecostals, have said, we believe that Christianity has been a blessing to the world. But we have realized now that there are other religions other than Christianity that can help people to get to heaven. Would you mark down what I say right now? That is heresy. One religious leader said, I personally believe that while Jesus came to open the door to God's house, all can walk through it. Now, if it stopped there, we'd say amen. Jesus came to open the way, the door, he's the way. Nor can go. But listen, let me read the entire statement that this leader said. I personally believe that while Jesus came to open the door to God's house, all can walk through that door, whether they know Jesus or not. Let me say that in Jones lingo. Jesus opened the door. But anybody can go through whether they know Him or not. Listen closely. A man that does not know Jesus is lost. A young person that does not know Jesus is lost. Whether they're in the Abundant Life Tabernacle today, or down the street in that church, or wherever they are, without Jesus, we're lost. And that man said, a religious leader said, Jesus, open up the door! So that who can go, anyone can go in, whether they know Jesus or not. If we go to heaven, brother, we'll have to know Him. We'll not only have to know Him, we'll have to accept Him as our Savior. And we'll have to love Him and live for Him. Hallelujah. And I'm glad today for the joy and the privilege that is ours. I know Him. I know Him. Hallelujah. And He knows me. Listen to what another writer said. Another religious leader. Who said, he's a well-known today. Religious leader. God doesn't care what religion you are or what you believe. All you need to do is add Jesus. And so some of this group calls themselves the Add Jesus group. God doesn't care what you believe. He doesn't care how you live. He doesn't care what religion you're part of. As long as you can just add Jesus to it. And the man that said that is no doubt known. His name is known by everyone here. Another said the Christian faith is really simple. You don't have to change a thing. You can keep the same lifestyle. You won't. You can keep the same culture. You won't. You can keep the same religion. You won't. Just add Jesus. He's the icing on the cake. If He can't be the cake, He won't be the icing. He's everything. Keep it in mind, folks. I'm not preaching something today that's just hearsay. This is from straight from a group that's meeting. Some have been meeting much longer than 5 years, trying to bring about a world church. You know that in our world today that there have been those from way, way, way back to have a one world government. You know that. I can give you names of people that have been one world government people from way, way back. And they're still being headed up now and coming to fruition and everything's winding down. But religious leaders that have had an impact upon the peoples of the world, and many of them pastored great church, great large churches. Keep this in mind today. If anybody gets away from the truth of the Word, it doesn't make any difference how thousands they have. Without the truth, we're lost. Just add Jesus. I just read what He said. Let me read some things again because something came to my mind. You can keep the lifestyle that you want. You can keep the religion that you want. You can keep the culture that you want. I had a problem with some missionaries some time ago. I wrote a letter. And a church had supported. I wrote a letter. And in the reply, and I suppose I still have the reply, he said to me that when the missionaries came to our country, they decided after a while, holiness folks, they decided after a while, that we did not have to line up with the teachings that they were teaching of the Bible, that we could keep our culture. And everything would still be all right. If your culture is not of God, it's not all right. Now, there are a lot of different cultures than America's. But if a culture is sinful, it needs to be changed. And in this ecumenical movement today that I am mentioning from different leaders, they are saying that you can, whatever religion you want to be a part of, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever your culture, whatever, as long as you just, well, put Jesus with it, everything will be all right. Listen, and I want to bring it to a simple point right here. You can't add Jesus to sin. You can't add Jesus to falsehood. You can't add it. Some people would like to do the wrong thing and say, well, Jesus is in on it because I've invited him in. You can't invite him in on it. That's important. I think sometimes, and folks, I can't get it out like I want to. But we are in a time, a perilous time, that we don't even realize. There's more going on underhandedly. There's not out in the open. And we just hear bits of pieces here and there. So much is going on in this last day of compromise. And now we've come to the place where it doesn't make any difference what you believe. It doesn't make any difference how you live. It doesn't make any difference where you go to church. It doesn't make any difference what you hear preached from the pulpit or what's taught in the Sunday school class. As long as you can add Jesus to it, listen closely, it makes all the difference in the world. If you feed on nonsense, nonsense will be there.
That's right.
If you fill your life and your heart and your soul and your mind with that which is ungodly, that's what will be there.
True.
If you invite Christ into your heart and life and serve Him with all of your heart, I'll tell you something, brother, you'll live right. Stay with the Lord and you'll live right. And now this group is coming together and it's widespread and it's encompassing, listen closely, it's encompassing the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals, and the Muslims, and all the rest is encompassing. Oh, we're going to come together. We're going to put aside this, and you put aside that, and you put aside that, and we're going to all just worship God. God will not be in it. The false prophet of the revelation will be the head. I declare unto you today, on the authority of God's Word, that there is but one way. One way to the Father's house. And Jesus stated it simply in that 14th chapter of John. Four short words. I am the way. I am the way. Matthew got ready to clap his hands. Let's clap our hands for the Lord. Amen. Clap your hands for the Lord. I am the way. Hallelujah. Let all men be liars. He said, I am the way. Amen. Amen. Brother, in a generation in which we live today, in the falling away, in the apostasy, and people getting away from the truth, and now they've been led into this and this and this, and every one of them are saying, well, I'm going to heaven, I'm ready for the rapture. The Bible says many will be deceived and believe a lie and be damned. What does that mean? If you don't stay in the truth, you'll be deceived. I'm preaching to the church this morning. I'm preaching to all of us. May God help us. With all the falling away from the truths revealed in this book. With a world church fast coming to a reality. With compromise spread everywhere, the order of the day. With religious leaders preaching and teaching that religions other than Christianity can lead to heaven. It lets me to know that things are winding down. Jesus said in the 21st chapter of Luke, when these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads. Look up and lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. I'm going to close in a few moments. I will just one more time give my testimony. When God called me to preach, I was not seeking such a calling. Then when I went home to read the Bible and to pray, I began to feel the awesome responsibility of preaching because I was raised in church and knew that preaching is a very sincere, or I don't know the right word to put there, but if I preach something that's contrary to the Bible and somebody misses heaven because of what I preached, their blood will be on my hands. I went home, I told you this. I prayed, I got my Bible out, I was reading. I came to the 41st chapter of Isaiah. And this still stands out in my mind. And I was praying here yesterday evening and came to my mind again. And I was reading that chapter. Was not familiar with it at all. familiar with the last verse of the 40th chapter. But they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. I came to the 41st chapter and this is what stood out. Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God said that to me through His Word. We left the military, went into the ministry, and God's been good. I have no sob stories. God's been good. Standing outside the church in Tucson, Arizona, having never preached a sermon yet, watching the funeral procession as they left the church to go to the cemetery. And my wife and I stayed behind to lock up the church and turn the lights out and whatever, because we did not know the person that had died and we were not going to the cemetery. Standing outside and just honoring the dead as the funeral procession went, left the church and we stood there and standing there at that vestibule or that front part of the church in Tucson, God spoke to me. I'm still having a battle. Should I get out of the service and go preach, or should I wait until I retire? What should I do? And God spoke to me another time, spoke to me again, and He said, my son is soon to come. That was 1959 in the early part of the year. I'd been called to preach in 58 in the month of November. God said, my son is soon to come. I want you to think about this. From 1959 until today, that's 53 years. He hasn't come yet. But God said, my son is soon to come. I felt an urgency to preach. I got out of the service and went to preach. And the first lady that got saved was married to a Catholic man. He was good to her, but he was Catholic and would not attend church. But she got saved and she stayed in there. Later on, we received a card that her husband George got saved. Had five boys, and two of them, I know, were called to preach. When she got saved that second Sunday of our ministry in that little old scout house, I was glad that I did not stay in the service. I was glad that I had obeyed God. And if no one ever else got saved except Myra Nolan, it had been worth it all. The next Sunday, another. And then some others down the road. What are you saying, preacher? It's been a good journey. We've enjoyed the ministry. God's blessed our lives. And I thank God for every time He's come by. But now we've come to some perilous times. Not so much politically. Not so much economically. And that's bad shape too. I'm talking about spiritually. The church world are falling away. I'm praying for next Sunday, for the preacher that comes with his family. I'm praying for God to anoint in such a way to bless this church. And in these last hours, if the Lord tarries even to next Sunday, that God will bless so that so many, maybe that are out yonder that are lost, will come to know God. It's perilous times. Perilous times. But with the falling away, and with the truths of God's Word being corrupted, and all this going on, the compromise and all the rest that is going on around about, Jesus said, look up. When you see these things happening, your redemption draweth nigh, and I'm going to close and we're going to pray. The trumpet is about to sound. The resurrection of the righteous dead is about to take place. The rapture is about to occur. The Christ of glory is about to make His appearance to the saints. And He's going to catch us away. And all who are saved by grace, all who are washed in the blood, all that are walking in the light of God's Word, all are going to be called out to be with Him. All that love Him with all of their heart, all those that are living right, are going to be called out. And I didn't know how to end the service this morning, but I want to say this. If you are one of those that's ready, you've got something to shout about. You've got something to thank God for. In the last hour of the perilous time, let me just say it one more way right now. If you're one of those that are saved, if you've been washed in the blood, if your sins are... Will you stand up? And if you're not yet saved, God wants to save you this morning. God's a